My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're Grant and Danny coming to you live all over D.C. on 106.7 The Fan and in Richmond on AM 910 and FM 105.1. Remember to listen wherever you are via the Odyssey app. You can pause and rewind the show. And if you'd rather stream and watch us when you're at the house or on the phone, you could do that on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. The show today and every day is brought to you by the law firm Condori and Murrah. They took care of my parents. I believe they're going to be taking care of the in-laws next. I'm sending them to Condori and Murrah as well. They can guide you and your family in the right direction, help you to draft a will, set up a trust, create a healthcare power of attorney, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys. KMLawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount. That's KMLawyers.com. It is a Football Friday. We are 2 days away from another batch of NFL games. So let's go through each and every Week 2 matchup and give you some of the big storylines this weekend around the NFL. We'll start you off in Baltimore, right up 95, where the Las Vegas Raiders are 0-1, as are the Ravens. Somebody needs to get off the schneid here, and you'd imagine it's going to be Baltimore after they lost a thriller at the hands of the Chiefs, Arrowhead Stadium. They've also had extra time to prepare for the Raiders, who dropped a game to the Chargers in Week 1. Lamar Jackson's ready to play in front of the home crowd.
Just being in front of our crowd, you know, in front of our environment, knowing the fans get to experience us, you know, in that stadium. And I believe we got some new addition going on at the stadium, so that'll be dope for the fans. But I'm looking forward to it, man, and I believe everyone want to see us, especially at home.
Get right, Ravens. This is a great opportunity. They're 9-point favorites, 8 points depending on your book. I don't think the Raiders are particularly good. I do know this. The Ravens are, and this is the time for them to kind of thrive. They lost a thriller on the road, as you mentioned, against Kansas City last week. Could have easily tied the game. Maybe have a chance to win it if Isaiah Likely's shoe size was one size smaller, even a half size smaller. That was a fantastic showing. It's been so long, we kind of forgot about it. Ravens, great chance to get to 1-on-1.
9 catches for 111 yards for Likely in the breakout, and he would have had a 2-touchdown, 120-yard game if not for, as you said, you know, the toe being about an inch too far over the goal line at the end of the end zone. Let's go to game number 2 of the Sunday slate, also in the 1 o'clock window. The Chargers, who started 1-0 by beating the Raiders, and the Carolina Panthers in Charlotte. For L.A., Jim Harbaugh is trying to get to 2-0, and the schedule looks like it lines up well for him to do that in his first season with the Chargers. Meanwhile, first-year head coach Dave Canales saw his team give up almost 50 points to the Saints, by far the worst team in the league in the season opener. Very, very little expectation for the Panthers coming into the season got lower. And I think the storyline here is going to be Bryce Young. He's got to start showing something as early as it is one game into his second season. It's getting late early for him. He was horrific in the opener. This is Young as he gets ready for his first game in Charlotte this season.
About for everyone, and then obviously for me, you know, looking in the mirror first, and you know, we all have that mindset of want to be better. You know, you look at plays that you know wish could execute it better, and you know, it was, you know, got to learn from it. And then now, that was what Monday was about. And then now we've turned the page. We've turned into you know, we're all in for the Chargers. It's lessons we addressed at the time, and now we're all about you know, how well can we prepare for Sunday.
13 for 30, 43% complete.
And it wasn't that good.
161 through the air with two interceptions this weekend.
I'm a big fan of Bryce Young, the person. I fell in love with him as a quarterback at Alabama like a lot of people did. This might go down as one of the all-time misses, dude. He's in a terrible situation. Carolina should be relegated. But, God, he does not look the part of an NFL quarterback. Chargers, don't look now. They could be 2-0 under Harbaugh.
Pretty entertaining game here for the New Orleans Saints and the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas. Both teams trying to get to 2-0. The Saints are the aforementioned club that dominated the Panthers. So the big question is, well, how much of that was New Orleans versus did they just take advantage of the worst team in the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
We know the second part is yes, but are they pretty good also? That's a possibility. I saw it's the first time in years that a team has won a week one game by 20 points, only to then be dogs by as many points as they are against Dallas, which is pretty revealing. Dallas's defense did not miss a beat. Without Dan Quinn and Joe Witt, they were exceptional against the Cleveland Browns. They shoved it last week on Deshaun Watson. Dak Prescott in the offense came out and looked really sharp early after he got his contract, and then they basically got to put their feet up for the last couple quarters of the game, so the numbers weren't all that impressive for Dallas. Here's Dak Prescott with a chance to get off to a two-win start without a loss.
Yeah, as I just said, third downs, I understand they've got a multiple of personnel. They're going to give you a bunch of different looks with a bunch of different guys. For us, it's about communicating up front. I understand they're going to try to squeeze us from the line of scrimmage to the top of our routes, whether it's man or zone, that they understand that scheme. A lot of veterans there. So for us, it's about playing through that, being physical with them, converting those third downs, and we'll be able to just get more shots at it. And when we could do that, the success just rolls.
Through 1 week, the narrative is kind of, I would say, that the demise of Dallas has been greatly exaggerated. People are reacting very strongly to how great they were in week number one. TBD for the rest of the year for me, but that's as good a showing as you can have. You can't play 17 weeks in 1 week, and they were really, really good in week one. 6.5-point favorites at home.
One development or revelation for them, Brandon Cooks, 4 catches for 40 yards and a score. He pretty much was ineffective most of last year.
Yep.
That was as big a game as he's had as a Cowboy, it feels like.
In a while,
back
at least,
last season. So that could be something if maybe they get somebody other than CeeDee Lamb going, especially now that Jake Ferguson, their tight end, got hurt. Not sure of his status yet for this weekend. Let's go to Detroit, where the Lions will be playing in their dome for the second time in as many weeks to open the year. Bucks 1-0 going to Detroit 1-0. Buccaneers shredded Washington. We've talked about that game all week. Baker Mayfield threw for 290 yards and 3 touchdowns, made it look easy. Their defense was also ultra impressive in the secondary, shutting down the Commanders. They got a different challenge now with Amon-Ra St. Brown. Jameson Williams hit a big 50-yard home run for a touchdown last week. I'm really curious to see, from a Detroit storyline standpoint, is the Jameson Williams thing for real? We heard all offseason, this guy had a great hiatus. He had really worked his butt off. He's about to break out. Wait till you see how good he is. And then he looked like it in the first game, which is a really, really big deal. See if they can carry that over for Motor City, Dan Campbell.
It doesn't matter who you play. I mean, you got to find a way to win them. And I think what's unique is, you know, I think the Rams last week and I think the Bucks here are certainly they have a good chance of winning those divisions. You know, they're certainly going to be competitive and be right there in the race. And so this is a chance to get an early one. You know, you get an early one and you just don't know what this is going to mean down the road. And you, if you can put some money in the bank early in the season, it'll pay big dividends for you down the road.
I actually think it was a smart point because he started off almost doing a green eggs and ham type bit where he's going, we'll play him on a boat, we'll play him anywhere, we'll play him in the air, we'll play him on the ground. But then he moved to, an NFC game, you don't know how critically important it's going to be when it comes to standing, home field, etc. This is a prove-it game for Tampa Bay. Week one, you got a 1AA opponent. I know who I'm talking about, by the way. Now you're stepping up in difficulty. 7.5-point dogs on the road in Detroit. Detroit should win this game, right? But if you beat them, everyone's got to look at you a little bit differently through 2 weeks, especially for Baker Mayfield. When it comes to it, Tampa's sort of narrative is we're not getting a whole lot of respect here despite winning that division for two straight years and winning a playoff game. Is someone going to pay attention to us? You beat Detroit, people will.
I think that's a great point. I mean, if you're the Bucs and you beat Detroit and you're 2-0, you're a contender in the NFC for the moment. Everyone's got to kind of view you as one of the better teams in the conference in the early going, especially after last year making the playoffs and winning a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
To your point, it's not like this is some, you know, bad team last year that's off to a decent start. I do think the Lions win. Speaking of resumes, they'd be 2-0 having beaten a Rams team that might win the West or at least make the playoffs behind San Fran, and then a Bucs team that has a great chance to win the South.
Pretty good start.
It's a really hard schedule, but it's in your building. And that would be pretty proof positive of what people think the Lions can be this year handling their business. Let's stay in the conference, go to Lambeau Field in Green Bay, where the Packers are going to look to get off the schneid. This is a loser-leaves-town game here. 2-0-1 teams, a loss sends you spiraling in the wrong direction. Bad news for the Packers is no Jordan Love. They are going to start Malik Willis. The last time we saw Malik Willis start an NFL game, he started three times back in 2022, and the Titans would not let him throw the football. And that's not a bit. He would throw it like 5, 7, and 9 times or something. He had 60 passes in 8 games, and in 3 starts total, he completed 45% of them for 3 interceptions. Still doesn't have a touchdown in his first 70 attempts as a quarterback in the NFL. This is Matt LaFleur, the head coach of Green Bay, who's getting Malik Willis ready to start opposite electrifying talent Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis.
And is Malik going to be the guy as you go forward here? And are you preparing him to be the starter?
Yeah, if Jordan's not cleared, then we'll start Malik and Sean will be the backup.
Sorry to bother you. With pretty critical information.
I mean, it's... I know you have to ask the question, but they have a depth chart. I mean, Malik came into the game last time. I guess they could have flip-flopped him. He could have been their out-of-the-bullpen guy, and they go with... Sean is Sean Mannion, right? The old, like, Penn State quarterback? I'm pretty sure. No, I mean, Sean Clifford, the old Penn State quarterback. That's who their third stringer is, right? Sean Clifford, who stunk at Penn State. I don't even know how he's in the league. But what a bad backup quarterback situation.
Yeah, all of a sudden, right? It's pretty dire straits. Green Bay needs to survive. They need to find a birdie here somewhere, maybe an eagle, where you win maybe an ugly game, go Pittsburgh Steelers style. For the Colts, I think they really need this one. You can't start 0-2 in that division with Houston off to that good start because your schedule's not tremendously easy kind of going forward. A bunch of games where it'll be probably a coin toss, 50-50 kind of a situation. They need this one if they're going to compete in the division, which I expect them to, and you won't get a softer landing spot than not having Jordan Love over there.
Anthony Richardson, sneaky, didn't have a great game, but because he made some unbelievable plays, it felt like he did. I think he had 9 total completions for the Colts in a loss in week one, but one of them was one of the most mind-blowing athletic feats I've seen on a football field.
And this is the deal, right? You're going to get points and production, but not in the way that a lot of other guys do it. You're going to have to deal with some, like he threw a terrible interception early on in that game. And then he also like truck sticked somebody, made 2 or 3 plays where nobody else in the league can make, including that one where he's like, it's like a fall away jumper from Michael Jordan, except he threw it 70 some yards in the air. I mean, you're going to get stuff, but it's a different way than everyone else does it. But he can't miss.
Yeah, if I get points and production, that's fine. I think they ended up throwing for sub 200 yards.
Mm-hmm.
They did have 300 as a team. They ran for over 100. He was obviously part of that. One of the most important games of the 1 o'clock window on Sunday is going to be the Browns and the Jaguars, both 0-1. Cleveland looked really bad against Dallas. Jacksonville let a win slip through their fingertips against the Miami Dolphins. Both of these teams came into the year thinking they're playoff teams. I would say this would be more of a damaging loss for the Jaguars because they're at home and because they should have beat Miami, whereas the Browns can at least just kind of wash off a bad start and then get home next week. But the Jags and the Browns both can't afford to be 0-2 with their playoff aspirations. Head coach Doug Peterson on Travis Etienne and getting his ground game going.
One, he's self-motivated. Two, he and I spoke even during the game Sunday and then afterwards, you know, and I just reassured him that we're going to continue to give him the football. And I think that's the next best thing is to get him right back on that horse, as they say, and keep feeding the ball. I don't want him to be tentative, you know, cautious. I still want him to attack, be aggressive, and just learn from him.
So Cleveland, to your point, GP, if they lose to Jacksonville, their next two games, Giants, Raiders, Commanders, that's three games. You could have a chance to get off the schneid there. You could be 3-2 through five very easily.
Kind of my thinking, yeah.
For Jacksonville, Buffalo, Houston, Colts. Uh-oh. They need this one.
Yeah, you just can't be 0-2, especially at home and before Deshaun Watson turns it around if he's going to. Let's go to Minnesota, where the Vikings are looking to get to a surprise 2-0. They got some good news today, I guess, and that is that it does not look like Christian McCaffrey
is
going to play. He's ruled out, and now it sounds like San Francisco's considering putting Christian McCaffrey on injured reserve as well, which would mean he'd miss at least the first four games, which, by the way, fantasy owners all over the place are slamming their steering wheels right now, but we'll digress on that for a moment. The 49ers won by dominating the Jets. They looked very good without McCaffrey. Jordan Mason was marvelous. Their backup running back ran for 140 yards on the ground in a win. For Minnesota, one of the really impressive outings of week one, and I know they played the Giants, Danny, but Sam Darnold lit it up. He was 14 for his first 14.
Mm-hmm.
Passing game for Kevin O'Connell looked efficient. They ran the ball really well with Aaron Jones, and now they go back to one of the best venues in football at home to try to beat a San Fran team they beat in primetime 1 year ago.
When you're at, you know, at quarterback, I feel like a lot of times you can feel everything kind of collapsing on you, not just in the game, but, you know, theoretically, like, as a whole. Just if things aren't going your way, you can feel the weight of the world a little bit. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's your job to just put the ball in your playmaker's hands and let them go run and make a play.
Sam Darnold, game manager, 208, two touchdowns and a pick. He completed 79% of his passes in week one for Kevin O'Connell.
That's the formula. San Francisco's so good that if they drop this game at Minnesota, they'll be fine. You know what I mean? Like, they're basically looking at their watch waiting for the playoffs. They're that good. For Minnesota, this would go an awfully long way to kind of validate their operation and you know, some of the decisions they either foisted upon them or have to happen. They'd be in a really good spot with Houston and Green Bay looming over the next couple of weeks. If they could easily be 1-3, or they could find a way to maybe win two of those three games somehow as underdogs, all of a sudden you're going, do we have to reevaluate Minnesota? That'd be really important for them.
We'll work our way through the rest of the slate on week number two's Sunday schedule as we continue on Grant and Danny. But let's get ready to talk to Dan Orlovsky of ESPN, one of their lead NFL analysts. The former quarterback joins us next to break down Jaden Daniels' debut. That is about 6 minutes from now on Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a Football Friday on Grant and Danny on the Fan, taking you up to 6:15. We'll make our confidence points picks at 6 o'clock. We've got a Commander Spotlight coming your way in about 15 minutes. But right now on the BetQL guest hotline, bet smarter to beat the books. Download the BetQL app. Visit BetQL.com. ESPN's Dan Orlovsky, one of the top football analysts in America, and there are very few people I'd rather talk to about quarterback play than Dan, who does such a great job on ESPN on television. Dan, thank you very much for the time. You're back on the air in D.C. with us here on Grant and Danny. How are you?
It's great to be with you guys. I appreciate the kind words. I'm doing fantastic. How are you guys?
We're all right, good, man. Yeah.
It's football time. It's fall. The weather's getting cooler. All the things we like. I wanted to start, I'm sure by now you've dove in pretty deep on the film from week one. What did you make of Jaden Daniels' performance in his maiden voyage?
Yeah, there were some really good things to come out. I would say the athleticism, the legs, to go and making some plays with his legs, a really big deal. I thought that there were a couple times when Tampa came at him with some pressures that he didn't panic. He had some hots, meaning, you know, pressure with an unblocked guy, and he got the ball out of his hands. I liked that. There was a couple moments that no one got open for him, and he didn't force the ball. And I think his athleticism and the legs and his confidence in that really helped in those situations. A couple nice checkdowns, again, of not forcing the football down the field were good. So I do think that there's good positives of operation. Handling no huddle, I liked. I do think overall there were moments where I said he's not totally sure what he's seeing. He's not totally convicted or confident in what he's looking at. And he didn't let the ball go in some situations that I would have said I would have preferred some aggression in that moment and some convicted throws in that moment. So I think, you know, for a week one start against a really difficult defense, just presentation and picture-wise, there's positives, and then there's a lot of potential learning and growth coming off of it.
So, Dan, how many of those moments, I guess we can call them negative, right, or learning experience, teachable moments, whatever you want to call it, how much of that to you is rookie first real NFL game with the bright lights on and things are moving, you know, like time-lapse super speed style, that'll be better as we go, and how much is a, you know, I'm not really sure about this? I'd love to know your distinction.
Yeah, I think there's probably three categories. It's certainly, you know, looking at a defense going, I don't have the full picture. Or what I thought the picture was changed on me. So, you know, there's a lack of conviction when you're looking at. And I think there's the second thing of, you know, not a ton of clarity maybe of schematically what they're doing. You know, there's a ball down that he didn't end up throwing. He scrambled. It's in the third quarter. and it's about 14:15 on the clock, and they get into a 2x2 set, and they go play action tight end wing, and they've got a slot receiver running down basically from the left hash all the way streaking across to the front pylon. And Tampa Bay plays a defender underneath that slot guy and then a safety way to the left side of the field over the top. And I would sit there and go, okay, well, what are they teaching that slot receiver in Washington? Does he have the chance to cross the field completely? Does he have to keep it more vertical to hold the... So I think that's part of it. And then also, and this isn't me trying to take a knock and shot at anybody, it's not like they have the most dynamic weapons on the perimeter outside of Terry. You know, so there's a little bit of, do you have a ton of confidence in that receiver going to outrun that defensive back for the ball? I think there's probably three categories that some of that hesitation can fall into.
Dan Orlovsky with us on G&D. You can see why we wanted to get him on to talk about Jaden Daniels' debut. We'll go around the NFL with him in a moment. I don't think I've had the opportunity to ask you this, Dan, because last time we had you on was just before they hired Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, you obviously studied his offense quite a bit when he was in Arizona, running the show there. It'll be different now that he's not a head coach. But what do you make of Kingsbury as a play caller and designer just generally? You know, it's only been a game, but we're still getting used to it. Some of the things that worried me happened in the first week. And I don't know if you can kind of maybe, I don't know, pour cold water on the idea that things change week to week, but I didn't want to see McLaurin in the same spot all the time. He was at an over an 85% clip. I thought he'd use more motion. He still didn't do that. He's been bottom of the league three straight years in that. Is that sustainable? Can that still work in 2024?
I do not believe so. And obviously, I think Cliff's a very smart football coach. He's had a ton of success offensively. In my belief, in the NFL in 2024, and I've felt this way for about 3 or 4 years now, if you don't, one, utilize motion in two different ways, one for information and two for impact, if you don't diversify how you displace defenders, meaning motions, play actions, forcing defenders to move laterally, then I think you're doing an offensive disservice and you're relying far too much on execution rather than advantage. I feel that way about a lot of different offenses, and some of those offensive coordinators are my friends, guys that I know and have a ton of respect for. I think in today's NFL, with the philosophy of most defenses, not all, but most defenses, which is going to be, and it's been trending this way for 2 or 3 years, we're going to put a cap on the defense. We're going to build an umbrella. We're going to force you to be really efficient throwing the football. We're not going to give up explosive plays down the field. And we're going to make you drive the length of the field. I think that's really hard to do unless you're doing some of the stuff that I described offensively. I think it's really hard to run the football from the shotgun and or pistol consistently. There might be a team or two that's capable of doing it. You better be phenomenal at making the picture look the same offensively when it's married to a play-action game. I don't believe Washington is fit. So I don't think he's going to change, no, and that's always been my hesitation when I knew Jaden was going to be a Commander.
Dan Orlovsky with us here on G&D. Dan, I feel the same. But you obviously have a billion times level of sophistication that I just simply can't get to. I just know that I see the good offenses do it, right? I mean, that's kind of where my simple little brain goes.
Sure.
So my question to you is just devil's advocate. What would a proponent of doing it this way say to you? Like, what would the counter argument be to what you just said if you could make it?
Cliff style? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, like in other words, what would he tell you if he was listening in?
Yeah, I think there's a negative to doing it or a potential negative to doing it. Okay, so number one, you have to have the skill guys that can handle all the verbiage of that motion and movement, the formations and the changes that get attached to it. Number two, you have to have a quarterback that can manage and control all of it. And then number three, you have to have offensive linemen that can handle some of the rules that might change if you are using those motions. Okay, so you got to have everybody, because as an offense, if I line my quarterback under center and I present a bunch to the right, and a couple.
I'm gonna throw Dan on hold, Ryan. You see if you can just work out the phone with him really quick, because this is too good to miss out on. Dan Orlovsky of ESPN is with us here on Grant and Danny, joining us on the Fan. You can hear he's got strong takes on the Kingsbury offense. So, Dan, I'll tag you back in here. That was too good, so I wanted to make sure we could hear you. So you can keep going.
Yeah, everybody's got to have rules that they're able to adjust with on the fly. Like if I line up with a bunch to my right and just a single receiver, Terry McLaurin, to my left, and he's reduced split to the tackle, and I want to go a play-action fake to the left and then set Jaden Daniels up in the B-gap on the right, well, I might line up in that bunch and then motion the receiver, and as I motion the receiver and he passes Jaden, I'm going to snap the football. Well, as I do that, the defense might adjust. And my offensive line might look at that picture and say, well, these are the six guys that or five guys that we have to block. And then all of a sudden, that motion happens, and one of those five guys changes, and then all of a sudden, a blitzer comes off the right edge, and our offensive line doesn't adjust to that guy being their responsibility, and it's a sack fumble. And so unless you have the guys that can handle that can teach that know the problems with all of that, it's silly, certainly, for you then to teach and install to your offense. So Aaron Rodgers doesn't like and use a ton of motion. So there's definitely a ton of advantages to it, but if you don't have the right people to teach it, and then really to know what the problems of it are, you are setting yourself up for failure. Where in Cliff's offense, he can sit there and go, well, yeah, there's a simplicity to this, and we've got the guys to do it, and it allows our team to play fast, and we don't think as much necessarily as some of those other offenses are. There is that potential positive attached to that for sure.
Dan Orlovsky with us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. You mentioned that it's harder right now to make some of those chunk passing plays. And the proof was there in week one. 24 quarterbacks threw 20 or more times with one touchdown or fewer. We have not seen that since the merger. 17 quarterbacks, 20 throws, sub 200 yards. Haven't seen it since the merger in a week one. 27 fewer passing touchdowns this past week than in week one 3 years ago. Why is that? I mean, how would you make that make sense for me?
Hopefully you guys got a lot of time baked into this segment. Okay, so, there's a lot of reasons. It's not a singular one. So I do think it's a little bit attached to guys not playing a ton in the preseason. Absolutely. I think defensively it goes back to some of that structural stuff that I was referencing before, where these teams are going to play in two high safeties. And so everyone understands, when a defense lines up in two high safeties consistently, it becomes math. And there's only so many different ways that you can change the math. The best way is you have to run them out of it. You have to force them to bring another human being down closer to the ball. And not only do you have to commit to running the football, you have to be effective in running the football. And over the course of a drive, and then over the course of a game. Two, when teams play two high safeties, there's really only four areas of the field that you want to try and attack that are somewhat downfield. Two of the places are down the sidelines, 20 yards, and that turkey hole, that honey hole area. And then two of the places are basically behind your linebackers on the hashes, okay? The only way to throw the ball to behind the linebackers on the hashes is one of two ways. To high-low them, meaning put a receiver behind them and put a receiver in front of them. That takes time in the drop-back game. Or two, to play action past them and to displace them either vertically or horizontally. Teams aren't doing as much play action and as effectively, and so therefore these defenders are just dropping back to 10 yards. The pass rush is forcing the quarterbacks to throw the ball at 4 or 5 yards, and with three or four defenders with vision on the quarterback, they sprint to the ball, and it's a four-yard completion.
For Washington's passing attack, Dan, what would your prescription be this week? Not just for this week against the Giants, but sort of going forward for the best practice maybe to develop Jaden Daniels to get him to a ceiling?
Yeah, I mean, again, schematically, I'm a believer in a lot of the things that Cliff doesn't deploy. You know, I think this week, and this is probably a concern of mine, is I do think the Giants' defensive line is much better than it showed in week one. I think the Vikings have a phenomenal offensive line. Washington's is concerning. I do think that Jaden's athleticism can help, but, you know, just pass game-wise, if I were Cliff, I would sit here and say, what the fudge are we doing with Dexter Lawrence every play? Because Dexter Lawrence can literally ruin the football game from a defensive tackle perspective. I think then second is their defensive coordinator's philosophy is they're just going to play top down. They're going to try to show one coverage and disguise at the snap, and they're going to force Jaden to play with the cloudy thought process of what the coverage is. So I do think quick ball out to the perimeter, pass game, yards after the catch, have to be a part of it. You have to play action to the weak side of the field and try to layer the defense, so meaning guy vertical, guy intermediate, guy shallow into the boundary. That's the best way to attack this defense scheme-wise. And then moving forward, again, I think part of that is how does Sinnott develop? How does McCaffrey develop as pass catchers to really be threats? I think schematically, I want to see some advancements in some of the stuff that they do. I don't know if Cliff is going to install that.
Dan, super insightful. It's why we wanted to track you down and get you on early this season. Thank you for hopping aboard with us. It's been great watching you guys get ready for week two. Enjoy the games ahead on Sunday.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you guys so much. You as well.
You got it. Check him out on ESPN's NFL coverage, NFL Live. He's all over the dial over at the Four Letter Network. We can react to some of that because he was way more opinionated on Kingsbury's offense than I anticipated, frankly. Next, as well as give you a Commander's spotlight, it's Grant and Danny on the Fan.
I think Cliff's a very smart football coach. He's had a ton of success offensively. In my belief, in the NFL in 2024, and I've felt this way for about 3 or 4 years now, if you don't, one, utilize motion in two different ways, one for information and two for impact, if you don't diversify how you displace defenders, meaning motions, play actions, forcing defenders to move laterally, then I think you're doing an offensive disservice.
Sell it.
That was Dan Orlovsky just a couple of minutes ago right here on Grant and Danny. We'll get to our Commander spotlight coming up in just a moment. We're taking you up to 6:15 tonight. We've got our predictions for the game on Sunday coming up and our confidence points picks as well. We'll also get you ready for Nats baseball before we say goodbye. But I mentioned going to break, Danny, that I was a little surprised how candidly Orlovsky came out to say he doesn't really like the Kingsbury offense. At one point he said, yeah, the things I hope they do and want them to do are not things that Cliff Kingsbury is going to do. That's telling.
Whoa.
But you just heard there a couple of his gripes. And that answer came from me asking, hey, he doesn't use motion very much. He didn't in Arizona. He hasn't here. And it doesn't seem like he plans on moving Terry McLaurin around a lot. Which we're all pretending like we're experts and saying that's not going to work. But maybe it will. Maybe he's got a plan. Maybe that could be a thing. And so I asked Orlovsky, can that work? And he said no, which is a little bit troubling. This is that full answer from the excerpt you just heard, though, from our conversation with more context and detail.
I do not believe so. And obviously, I think Cliff's a very smart football coach. He's had a ton of success offensively. In my belief, in the NFL in 2024, and I've felt this way for about 3 or 4 years now, if you don't, one, utilize motion in two different ways, one for information and two for impact, if you don't diversify how you displace defenders, meaning motions, play actions, forcing defenders to move laterally, then I think you're doing an offensive disservice and you're relying far too much on execution rather than advantage. I feel that way about a lot of different offenses, and some of those offensive coordinators are my friends, guys that I know and have a ton of respect for. I think in today's NFL, with the philosophy of most defenses, not all, but most defenses, which is going to be, and it's been trending this way for 2 or 3 years, we're going to put a cap on the defense, we're going to build an umbrella, we're going to force you to be really efficient throwing the football, we're not going to give up explosive plays down the field, and we're going to make you drive the length of the field. I think that's really hard to do unless you're doing some of the stuff that I described offensively. I think it's really hard to run the football from the shotgun and or pistol consistently. There might be a team or two that's capable of doing it. You better be phenomenal at making the picture look the same offensively when it's married to a play-action game. I don't believe Washington is fit. So, I don't think he's going to change, no, and that's always been my hesitation when I knew Jaden was going to be a Commander.
I mean, at the end there, my hesitation when I knew Jaden would be a Commander, that's pretty jarring.
Yes, it is. And listen, he's got a level, as I said in the interview, if you heard it, he's got a level of sophistication I'll never have, just having played the position, studying it the way that he does. So what I do is I try to read all the smart people and consume all the smart people who have said something similar, and that's led to me to my philosophy. If pressed under oath, I'd be thrown out of court because I am not an expert witness here. But guys like Warren Sharp who point out data trends, Dan Orlovsky, who I think of as really smart and sharp, doesn't mean they're right 100% of the time, but these smart folks who study these sorts of things go, here is the trend line and here's what they're doing. And it's divergent. And you either are a genius because you buck the trend and don't buy in, or you're being left behind. And my fear and my belief is the latter, that they're being left behind. I think they're too defendable. I think it's with what they have, it should be tougher to deal with them than it is and is going to be.
Well, they certainly were in week one. And again, while providing as much information, I think that's the job. We try to do an informed show, providing as much context for our opinions as we can. I also want to keep spinning that second plate for now of the open-mindedness that I still have that it was one game, because I never want to be overly reactionary. The problem is my fear going into the game was met.
Yeah.
My fear was, isn't this just what he's going to do? And then in the preseason, that's what he did when they had their starters on the field. And if you remember, a couple of the nerds came out and yelled about it. And then a lot of the reporters that are out there every day yelled at the nerds and said, well, that's not what he's going to do. He just told us it's not what he's going to do. And in practice, that's not what he does. And so it kind of calms your nerves a little bit. But then the game happens, and that's exactly what he did.
Mm-hmm.
And it did resemble when DeAndre Hopkins underachieved in Arizona and a lot of what happened with the Cardinals. But it's all the more reason why this weekend will be that much more interesting, that much more telling against the Giants. It's another reason to tune in, and it is going to be really exciting to get another game under our belts to figure out what this thing's going to look like and what it is going to be. But much appreciate Dan Orlovsky. That was fantastic. Good conversation with him for joining us on Grant and Danny. I know we already have a lot to do, but I kind of want to crowbar one more thing in. Did you hear the story about this minor league catcher that was telling the other team what pitches were coming?
I did. I sent it in the chat.
It's one of the craziest things I've ever seen in my life. We should try to hit on that next as well, right here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.